Welcome, everyone, to another edition of A Sensible Future, the podcast for students for sensible drug policy. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have James Gould, who is a student at CU Boulder in Colorado. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So you are going to school at CU Boulder. How many years have you been attending there?
So I've been attending CU Boulder. This is actually only my second semester. I'm a part-time student at CU Boulder. And a full-time web developer and drug policy activist.
Oh, excellent. All right. So as you've been attending school there in Boulder, of course, everyone knows that Colorado legalized adult use of cannabis in 2012. And so you're about 5 years into it as a state, 3 or 4 years into it as far as the recreational markets go. What's that been like as a student? Has there been much before and after, much change in your perspective in college life since legalization?
So I actually moved to Boulder after legalization. I moved in 2013 or 2014.
Okay. So was that a compelling reason to move to Boulder?
Absolutely. To be completely frank, not having the odds of getting arrested if I do decide to consume cannabis was definitely a motivating factor in moving to Colorado. That was absolutely a motivating factor. I grew up in Arizona, actually, and Arizona has some very regressive laws. I saw a lot of people's lives absolutely ruined when I was in high school and middle school by relatively minor, or what should have been relatively minor, drug charges.
Okay, so you're at CU Boulder. You come up there in 2013, and of course, the legalization of cannabis is for people 21 and older, but people in college can be, 18 and older. Has that been a big issue with underage consumption? Does the university have any policies regarding that?
So I have spoken to a number of people who have gotten minors in consumption for cannabis. And I'm actually working with the Drug Policy Alliance to research juvenile marijuana arrests in Colorado. We did see a reported increase in marijuana arrests for juveniles after legalization. Specifically, Black and Latino arrests went up after legalization occurred, and arrests for white juveniles went down. As for if it's a problem on college campuses, it isn't that big a problem. Usually it's a slap on the wrist. Usually it's a small fine, but it can get rather serious because it can go on people's permanent records. It can affect future employment opportunities, and it's just not really necessary to be arresting and giving criminal charges to anyone for marijuana consumption.
Yeah, and it's a good thing, in the state of Colorado, you've got some more, some of the most progressive laws on this in the country as compared to, like you said, Arizona. So as a drug policy activist, do you find yourself now working on areas outside of the cannabis issue? And would you like to share some?
The vast majority of my work is outside of cannabis. I work a lot on harm reduction, both psychedelic harm reduction and injection drug use harm reduction. So I advocate for drug checking programs. We see on college campuses, a lot of times people are taking white powders and calling them things like Molly, and they don't actually have any clue what's in those powders. And when we tell them what's in those powders, they get quite scared about what they just put in their mouth. And I also am a huge advocate for supervised injection facilities. This is something that's been tried in some 30 countries where people are allowed to access these facilities to inject drugs. And there's never been a death at one of these facilities. They massively reduce healthcare expenditures for people who inject drugs, generally very cost effective. And we're looking, we have a bill proposed in Colorado for a pilot program in Denver, which, if approved, could be the first pilot program approved in the country, in the U.S. right now.
Wow, that's really good news. And, of course, everybody has heard about the opioid overdose crisis that's happening in America. So anything we can do to get more more help in harm reduction in that area is definitely needed and long overdue. What are the roadblocks in trying to get such a thing accomplished there in Colorado? Are the people understanding of this and wanting it? Are there political roadblocks, hurdles you'll have to get past?
So if you want a more in-depth answer to that, you should speak to the people down at the Harm Reduction Action Center. However, I can say I've been rather surprised at how little opposition I have personally seen to this. It was proposed in a, I'm forgetting the term, a special legislative session where they were specifically focusing on bills that they could pass to help with the opioid epidemic. And this bill, the bill that proposed supervised injection facilities as a pilot program, passed unanimously with both bipartisan support. So that one of the co-sponsors was actually a Republican. So that is something that was surprising to me. There have also not been a huge number of people like writing news that has been critical of this. There's been a massive amount of coverage from the media that has been actually in support of opening up a supervised injection facility, as well as a lot of local businesses and other organizations have gathered together and endorsed this legislation. The Harm Reduction Action Center has quite a list of people who have endorsed it at this point.
Fantastic news. I'm really surprised that there's not more friction in this particular issue, but maybe people are starting to get it. Maybe the education is starting to take hold. You know, another avenue of harm reduction I'd like to talk to you about, James, that's especially pertinent for colleges is alcohol. You know, as drug policy reformers, we sometimes give the short shrift to talking about alcohol and the harms it causes. Do you have anything to tell us about what's happening at CU Boulder regarding alcohol policies?
With alcohol policies, we see a lot of similar things to cannabis with the legalization of cannabis in Colorado. So we're seeing a lot of similarities there. Again, people 18 to 21 are being criminalized for consuming alcohol, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You can go and serve your country, join the military, but you're still going to be criminalized for consuming alcohol. But it isn't that huge a deal because most people are just given a slap on the wrist. On college campuses, we do see a lot of people who are abusing alcohol and who are consuming too much of it. But we always have and likely always will. There are some ongoing education programs on college campuses, including CU Boulder's campus, about alcohol. Mainly like people should know their dose, they should know what they're getting into. I also work with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. I have an internship with them where we're going into high schools in Denver to educate students about drugs, alcohol being one of those. So we're working on implementing more sensible education. Previously, the school has just had, when I was going through my first semester, they showed us a video that showed how to turn down alcohol, which just isn't a realistic approach for most students. A majority of students are going to consume alcohol and should be given harm reduction education on how to do so safely. You should drink water in between drinks. You should pace yourself. You should not get behind the wheel of a car after consuming alcohol.
You shouldn't mix alcohol with any of the opiates. For certain. That's one of the ones we definitely want people to know. A lot of these opiate overdose deaths that happen due to a drug interaction, and most commonly that one is alcohol. So I'm really happy, James, that you guys are involved with that and getting more information out. And I just going back to something you mentioned, while I know it's probably politically impossible, do you think an 18-year-old drinking age and marijuana age, etc., would help in this regard?
So what I'd personally advocate for is decriminalization, because as you said, it might be politically impossible for to have an 18-year-old drinking age and an 18-year-old cannabis consumption age. there would be a lot of opposition to that because a lot of people are like, well, they're still developing. But when we're talking about decriminalization, we're talking about just not criminalizing people for consumption of drugs.
And so I keep 21 as like a commercial age, but 18 as a, you know, non-criminal age.
So I support decriminalization for all ages. I just really don't think it's helpful to be arresting children for consuming drugs. Like, there are other things that we could be doing than arresting them and oftentimes giving them permanent criminal records. In Arizona, I saw this at its like logical extreme. At one point, I knew a kid who got arrested for a drug charge, and at a later point, he was on probation and he was arrested for having cigarettes and was charged as an adult for consumption of tobacco or possession of tobacco as a minor, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, try to wrap my mind around the idea of a minor being charged as an adult for possessing something as a minor that as an adult he could possess.
And I think I think that a lot of like that really put it in my head, like, These charges are ridiculous. We look at children and we say, well, you're not old enough to make the decision on whether or not you should be consuming alcohol. You're not old enough to make the decision on whether or not you should be consuming tobacco. But you are, so you're not old enough to accept the consequences and understand the consequences for those things. But then we also look at them and we say, but you are old enough to be charged in a criminal court for making those decisions, as if that's not oftentimes more destructive than the initial choice to consume alcohol or to consume tobacco or even cannabis. But as we were saying, it's probably politically impossible to decrease the consumption age to 18 because federal highway funding is largely contingent on states having that 21-year-old drinking age.
Gotcha. All right. Well, James, you got a wealth of knowledge there, and I'm really excited about the work you're doing there at CU Boulder and all throughout Colorado. Do you have any links or contact information you'd like to give our listeners?
What exactly kind of links are you looking for?
Oh, if anyone would like to get in touch with you, learn more about CU Boulder, help you out with your activities, join the group, anything like that.
If you want to join Students for Sensible Drug Policy at CU Boulder, you can go on our Facebook page. That's Students for Sensible Drug Policy at CU Boulder, and you can message that and get in contact with us. If you want to directly reach out to me for anything, my email is jamesagould123@gmail.com. So anybody can just reach out to me at that email.
All right. Well, that sounds good as far as getting the contact info. And of course, on the national scale, people can visit ssdp.org to learn more about Students for Sensible Drug Policy. James Gould from CU Boulder SSDP, thanks for joining us here on A Sensible Future, and good luck on all your endeavors.
Thanks, Russ. You as well.